Turn with me in your Bible this evening to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 1, and we're going to read down to the end of verse 10. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Let's bow our hearts in a moment's prayer. Our Father, we thank thee and praise thee this evening for the one of whom thy word speaks, he who indeed is head over all things. We thank you that he is our Savior and our Lord. We thank you that we have been brought into a living relationship with him, that we have been reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Father, we pray now that you will bless us as we look at your word, that the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. In his lovely name, amen. I want to look or begin looking this evening at what I have called the evidences of true conversion. And I make it clear to you the emphasis on the word true conversion. Because if conversion is not according to the teaching of the Word of God, if a profession of faith is not according to the reality of the Holy Spirit, then they are not genuine, true conversions that result in salvation. I give you an example. There are many that name the name of Christ, that in their hearts know not Christ. And what I want to do tonight is to bring to you what I consider the first and real evidence of true conversion, and that is walking with God. As I was writing my notes early this afternoon, I wrote down the fact that our journey to heaven after salvation is going to either be on foot or by air. In other words, we're going to walk with the Lord down here, either until he takes us to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or until he comes and takes us to meet him in the air. As the Word of God says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're walking day by day with Jesus Christ, because we have been converted. Remember, we were walking in the opposite direction. Now we are walking with the Savior towards heaven itself. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I want to suggest to you that this is our foundation of walking, and I want you to notice the tense in which the apostle speaks. He says, and you hath he quickened. We have been made alive. And then he looks back at the way we used to live, the way we used to walk, and he reminds us that it is a thing of the past that we walked as the world walked. And I want to suggest to you that those very words infer that a change has taken place. A change not only of relationship, a change of state because we were dead and now we're alive, but a change of direction. For the way that we once walked, we no longer walk. The direction that we walked in, we no longer walk in. The road that we walked on, the broad road that leads to destruction, we no longer walk on it. We have been turned, converted to Jesus Christ. And we walk not the broad road, but we walk the narrow way which leads unto life. And you and I this evening who are saved, we can read those words, wherein in time past ye walk. And we can know, as the Apostle Paul is writing, that he's not looking to a present tense, he's looking to the past tense. Something that once was, that is no more. And then we turn to the verses that we read together. And it's beautiful to me that in the midst of his great spiritual arguments in Colossians chapter 2, In the midst of his great warning to the believers that they're not to be enticed, in the midst of his great setting forth of the Lord Jesus in all his glory and majesty and power, that he interjects to the believers the need for them to walk in Christ. You notice what he says in verse 6? As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. You see, he's looking back again. He's looking back to a definite experience. He's looking back to something that is real in their lives. He's looking back and he's saying, you know when it was you received Christ Jesus the Lord. And then he puts that little statement on at the end, so walk ye in him. If we have in Ephesians chapter 2 the foundation of our walk, we have in Colossians chapter 2 the faith that enables us to walk. I want you to turn over with me and we'll do a little bit of turning in the early moments, but Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then he goes on to tell us the works of the flesh and to tell us the work or the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to notice what he says to the believers. Walk in the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, he says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, there's a lot of confusion today about the filling of the Holy Ghost. The word is control of the Holy Ghost. You see, when a man or woman gets drunk with alcohol, it's not a matter of liquid filling them as liquid fills a vessel. It is, and I say it from sad experience from before I was saved, that alcohol takes control. No, even better than that, the person hands over control willingly to be controlled by alcohol. And the apostle writes to the Ephesian believers, and he says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't hand over the control of your life to alcohol. Hand over the control of your life to the Holy Spirit. And I want to suggest that if Ephesians 2 and 2 is our foundation for our walk, and Colossians 2 and 6 is our faith for our walk, then in Galatians 5:16 we have our filling for our daily walk. Now, I don't know about over here in America, but before I came to America, I lived in Ireland and I lived in Liverpool, and there's a saying that's common to both. People will look at you and say, you're full of yourself. I'm sure you say it over here, don't you? Just don't say it to me. The Apostle Paul has in his mind the fact that you're either going to be full of yourself or you're going to be full of Christ. When he tells the believers to walk in the Spirit, day by day they are to walk under the control of God the Holy Spirit. And he lets them know about the battle that goes on, the flesh lusting against the Spirit and the Spirit lusting against the flesh. And he tells them quite simply, the answer is this, that if you walk in the Spirit, then it's the fruit of the Spirit that will be evident. But if you walk in the flesh, he said, these are the works of the flesh. So if you are in control, then the flesh will be manifest, and the works of the flesh will be manifest. You know what has always amazed me, and it shouldn't, is that the apostle's not writing to non-believers in Ephesians chapter 5 and in Galatians chapter 5. He's writing to the people of God. And he's warning them that if they're not walking in the Spirit and they're being controlled by the flesh, he writes to them about adultery and fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, stripes, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He's writing to the children of God. And he's warning them the things that will be manifest in their lives if the Holy Spirit of God is not in the place of control, if they walk according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit. It's something that I need to be very conscious of. It's something that we need to be very conscious of, that we're either going to be full of ourselves and people are going to see us, or we're going to be full of Christ. And when people look at us, they're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Robert Murray McShane, one of the great Scottish preachers, was known amongst the men in the public house, the drunkards, as the godly McShane. Because they would say that when they saw him on the street, they would be rebuked at their own condition and state, because here was a man in whom they could see the very characteristics of the life of God, of the life of Christ. And one of the purposes of God in our salvation, one of the purposes of God in turning us round, in converting us and bringing us to Himself, one of the purposes of God is that we might be brought to Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness does not come by me being in control, by me being the boss, by me being in the place of lordship. Christ-likeness only comes when I hand over to God the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit of God controls and produces in me those great characteristics, the fruit. Remember, it's not the fruits, it's the fruit. It's the sevenfold fruit, that sometimes I think that we as Christians look down there and we say, well, yes, I'll have love, I'll have joy, I'll have peace, not too keen on long suffering, I'll have gentleness, goodness, faith. We try and choose, but that's not what the Word of God is teaching. What the Apostle Paul is teaching is that when the Holy Spirit of God is in control of any believer, not just an older believer, not just a believer who's been on the road for years. I was saved on the 4th of September, 1966. It's 2002. In a few days' time, I will have been saved 36 years. Old brother in Sanford used to say, you haven't grown much, have you? He was talking about physically. You haven't spent a whole lot of time growing. I've got to tell you, in 36 years, I've wasted a lot of time. I've had to be rebuked very often by the Lord, who said, Joe, you're taking control again. You need to die daily and allow the person of God, the Holy Spirit, to take control. You go over to Romans 8, you'll read that the apostle writes of being led by the Spirit. I want to tell you that it's a blessed, blessed experience that I don't experience often enough. The direct and the manifold leading of God, the Holy Spirit. When you are conscious that you are, as has been said, clay in His hands, that He can do with you what He will, and that He will make you what He will. I remember one night in Glasgow, Scotland, There was a huge meeting of the Glasgow City Mission, and we were all waiting round for the preacher to come. Meeting was to start at 7:30, and about 20 after 7, the phone rang, and it was the preacher's wife, and he had all of a sudden taken sick, and he wasn't going to be able to make it. And they were asking what we're going to do, what we're going to do, and somebody said, "Joel, preach." And I said, "Yeah." And then I stopped and thought, Joel, preach what? I went for 10 minutes into a little room, alone with the Lord, and I came out, and I'm not saying this to boast in Joe, but I stood up when they said it was my turn to speak. I stood up and I felt all the worries and the concerns and the pressures just fall behind me. And I was enabled of God to speak and uplift the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've often thought, why isn't it like that every time I speak? Why isn't it like that? Brother William Smith prayed this morning that the Lord would hide me. That's a good prayer to pray. Hide me. But hide me so that Jesus Christ will be uplifted, that he will be exalted, and that he will be glorified. Turn back with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. Talking this evening about walking with the Lord. We're talking about how we used to walk and what changed how we used to walk and how we're to walk in the Spirit. And in Ephesians 4 and verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, and even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." Now you could just keep reading that, couldn't you? But you see what the apostle begins that great statement with? "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you." I plead with you, I beg with you, I pray you, walk worthy of the vocation, the calling wherewith you were called. See, I did it. I changed a word. It's not walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. Look what it says. Walk worthy of the calling, the vocation wherewith ye are called. The Lord has never taken that calling from us. The Lord has never said, "Joe, you can have tomorrow off. It's Labor Day tomorrow. You can have a holiday from walking with me. You can have a holiday from being responsible to walk worthy." To walk worthy. You know what I thought when I was preparing my message? That the greatest encouragement to us walking worthy of our calling should be the fact that he who called us walks with us every step of the way. I've shared with you before the great delight that I get from the words of the Lord Jesus when he says to the disciples, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." What does the yoke do to the oxen? It makes them walk together. It makes them walk step by step. And Jesus says to his disciples, he says to us, take my yoke upon you and walk with me step by step in nearness, in reality, in life. Everywhere you go, everything you do, every attitude you take, every thought that you think, Jesus says, walk worthy. Walk acknowledging that I am walking with you. I've called that our faithfulness. But look what it says in verse 17 of the same chapter. Writing again to believers, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye walk henceforth not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. He says there are some of you who walk and your minds are absolutely empty. There's no recognition of the great truths that I'm expressing to you. Turn over with me to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 12. No, sorry, chapter 3 and verse 11. The Apostle Paul is writing, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. What was happening? Paul and other preachers had come in and told them that the Lord was coming back, and some of these men, without reason, had said, well, if the Lord's coming back, what we need to do is just stop working and just sit down and wait for Him. And then when the Lord didn't come as they expected the church to feed them and to care for them while they sat down and waited for the Lord to come. And if we'd read verse 10, the Apostle Paul gives us a principle that we should maybe practice today, that a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. No great love of work today. You know, I remember not long after we were married, we lived in a little place called Skelmersdale, and coming home one day at lunchtime, and they blocked off the road, there was this long procession of people. They were having a right to work march. Unemployment was quite high, and they were demanding the right to work. And I looked at the front, and there was a man I knew had absolutely no desire to work. So I called the police officer who was guarding the walk and organizing the walk, and I said, officer, would you ask that man to come over and see me before I drive away? The man who was leading the march, and he had the yellow armbands on, he was the man who was leading the right to work. And he came over to the car, and I handed him a piece of paper, and I said, this is the company I work for. If you come down tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, I'll give you an interview and maybe give you a job. I don't remember the language that he used to me, but he used a lot of it. I want to tell you, the Lord says, don't use him as an excuse for laziness. He says, if the Lord, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Now, there's a difference, a man not being able to work. But the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, says that what was happening was they were behaving, they were walking in a disorderly way. Walking in a disorderly way. And he says, don't allow it. And he says to you and I, don't do it. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness. Isn't that beautiful? But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You see what he says? You were once darkness. You were once not only living in darkness, you were blind, you were dead, you were on your way to hell. He says, but that's not the case anymore. You're children of light. Walk, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Turn over with me to 1 John and chapter 1. 6. Let's read verse 5 because it makes a tremendous statement about God. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see what the Apostle John is writing? He's writing about the effect of our walk upon our fellowship with God, upon our fellowship with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I have been called out of darkness. The Lord says, if I called you out of darkness, don't walk in darkness. If I called you out of darkness and you continue to walk in darkness, you want to see what he says? We lie and we do not the truth. Four more things I want to mention about our walk. Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love. I want to tell you that's one of the hardest things to do as a child of God. Because it's just like the fruit of the Spirit, you know. We want to choose which ones we want to have. When the Word of God tells us to walk in love, it doesn't allow us to choose which of the believers that we love and which ones we're just not going to make as much effort to love. Lord says, I've loved you. You show everybody that you belong to me by the way you love each other. Walk in love. Romans 13:13. Walk honestly. Walk honestly. There's to be no deceit about us. There's to be no guile about us. Why? Because there was no deceit in the one like whom we're supposed to be. There was no guile in the one that we're supposed to be changed into his image. Walk honestly. Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom to them that are without. Do you know what wisdom is? Wisdom is the right application of the knowledge that God gives you. And sometimes we don't walk in wisdom because we want to make our decisions based on our knowledge, not the knowledge that God has given us. And the apostle writes to the Colossians, he says, walk in wisdom to them which are without. Turn with me to 2 John. 4 and 6. Let's read through 4, 5, and 6. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. As we have received a commandment from the Father, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Walking in love for the truth. That means we've got to take time to read God's book. And God says, if you do that, when you're walking, my light, my word will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. God says, if you read my word, it'll be safer to you than any known way. He says, if you read my word, you'll walk in my ways, not in your own ways or in the ways of the world. Tell me, have you been converted? Oh, I trust you have. Are you enjoying your walk to heaven? You know what I found? There's no lay-bys. There's no standing still. If you're not going forward in your walk with the Lord, you're drifting backward. If you're not going forward with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going anywhere. What a wonderful Savior. He says, Joe, I'm going to show you how you should walk. I'm going to show you where you should walk. I'm going to give you the power and the ability to walk for me. And he says, I'm going to tell you right at the beginning where walking with me is going to take you. It's going to take you to glory. It's going to take you home. You don't get any days off. And if you're wise, you won't want any. Walk with the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee that those who have come to Christ, those who are Christ, are called to walk in Him. Though we walk in this world, yet we are able to walk in Christ. We pray that we may walk in such a way that we witness a good profession of faith. that we walk worthy of the calling wherewith we are called. Lord, when we get up in the morning, we'll still be called. As many days as you give us, we'll still be called. The call of God. Chosen, precious. Father, we ask you that we may desire to enjoy our walk with you. Our walk with Christ. We ask it in his name. And for his glory. Amen.